This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. It's time to step up to the plate with Jim, Steve, Fish, and former two-time Gold Glover World Series champion, Benji Molina.
A swing and a miss, and that's the winner! That's the winner! A World Series winner for the Cardinals!
Ranger, that is! In the left field, December 3000, a run is scored!
Smith courts one into right down the line. It may go! Go crazy, folks! Go crazy!
A high pop ball! The Clover's there! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant!
Breeze hits it in the air to center. We will see you tomorrow night.
Swing and a miss! The Cardinals are world champions for 2006.
In the air to left, well hit. Back is Craig. What a team. What a ride. The Cardinals are world champs in 2011.
Hello, Cardinal fans, and welcome to a Thursday edition of Two Birds and a Bat, your St. Louis Cardinals fan podcast, coming to you from the patio studios, the original party place for St. Louis Cardinal fans everywhere, whether it's pre or post game. Remember, patios is the place to meet. Always thanking our good friend Randy Green with InnovativeCompanies.com for bringing the show out to the airwaves. His construction team, heating and cooling team, and his electric team are ready to roll. 35 years experience, second-generation craftsman, and just a tremendous human being with a great work ethic and a great family that helps him run that business. Obviously, we're excited about our continued relationship with Randy Green and InnovativeCompanies.com. Well, guys, looks like a lot of you are enjoying some of the spinoff shows we've been doing, but I do know that nobody likes it better than when some of the gang are in here, and one of those would be on the M4byYachty.com hotline. Everybody loves it when we welcome in St. Louis Cardinals broadcaster Benji Molina. Woo! I got some stuff I'm playing with here. You like that? New toys, Benji. You like that?
I love that. I do that to Polo when I announce him into our game. I announce him, but I do it with my mouth. Of course, I just go... Polo, and people would think, man, you guys got a lot of fans out there. And I was like, no, that was just me. But yeah, no, thanks, man. Thanks.
It's always applause. It's always applause when I introduce you, but when I introduce our other cohort in crime, it's more like this. Everybody, Steve Flowers, ladies and gentlemen, Steve Flowers.
I'm here. I had to introduce Jimbo. He works in here all the time. He's a professional.
I knew about this, but they had changed it. I didn't know.
I come in one day, and I go, hey, man, you got to use those buttons. BMO, man, this studio's unbelievable what they're doing over here at Lineup Media. I walk in, I'm like, holy crap, new microphones. Hey. They got a nice comfy chair I can over there and sit in.
You don't deserve. Listen, any guy that won't come in here after his Cowboys get pounded by the Jets, but yet wants to come in here because they beat up on who?
The Eagles,
who aren't very good.
The Hurting Eagles.
My Cowboys a lot like the Cardinals. They need to win their division. Okay.
Okay.
So they need to go out. They need to take care of
the right thing. They're doing the right thing of beating the Eagles.
Yeah, absolutely. Go win the division. That's what we need to do.
Well, we have all kinds of new toys around here. We do, and we need them because it's the off season for the Cardinals. Although what's going on right now in this World Series is crazy. I listen. I'm very rarely right, but to a man, I said on these airwaves. Nobody wants to play Washington, and the whole darn league of people that were in the playoffs, I don't know what term I wanted to use there, but the bottom line is everybody that was in the playoffs was hoping and praying that Milwaukee was going to beat Washington in that wild card game.
They got a pretty good ball club over there.
Well, there's something to be said for being hot and having a little timing on your side. I'm not going to call it luck either because what they're doing is amazing.
Well, that, getting hot at the end of the season, which is something that we had kind of cooled off a little bit with. And we saw our run happen in, 2011, sure. in other years that we've had. So we've always talked about that, Jim. If you get hot at the end of the season and go through playoffs, you can make a deep run and challenge for a World Series title. And I'm happy to see it. It's a good series.
Well, and we've talked about the big three, but Benji, I got to ask you, I mean, you know, Washington obviously has a three-headed monster on the mound, but the reality of it is so does Houston, and Washington has found a way to combat that. And this is an amazing thing. Why don't you talk a little bit about your thoughts so far on Houston?
I think in a personal way, I have two or three or four more friends in Houston in the team. But for that comment that idiot made, you know, or that controversial comment,
yeah,
I'm going Washington all the way. But let me tell you this. Since 19 and 30 something they had, right?
Yeah.
At the beginning of the season, they are the best team in the league. And we're counting May, okay? Since May. 5 months in the playoff, they are the best freaking team in the league by far. By far. So why is this surprise you? I mean, not you. I mean, anybody.
Anybody,
why
yeah.
Why is this surprise anybody? It doesn't surprise me at all. When they beat us 4 in a row, I mean, I didn't want that to happen. Of course, I want the Cardinals to win. But you have to be realistic. They threw at us. I mean, they threw everything at us. And then when Aníbal Sánchez beat us in the first game, it was done. It was done after that. It was just battled through, and that's it. Let's see what happened. But, dude, those guys, the way they beat up on L.A., which L.A. is a pretty good team, you guys know.
Sure.
The way they beat up on them, everybody's like, it was saying, okay, we want Washington. We want Washington. It's like, I don't know if you want Washington, you know. I don't care about the flight, but I tell you what, you don't, like you said, you don't want to face Washington and with those three guys on the mound. And look at what they've shown us. Exactly that. You don't want to face Washington, but like I said, guys, they have been the best team since May. You go get it. You go look at the numbers and you'll figure it out. They've been the best team, and they have not disappointed. Houston is a powerhouse, too. And they took it to Cole, and they took it to Verlander like nothing. That team is just on the roll, man. It's going to be really hard to beat them at home, too.
Well, so I'm going to ask both of you this question. Steve, I'll start with you. Seeing what Washington is doing to Houston, does that take any of the sting off? Does that take any of the sting off for you on what happened with the Cardinals? Or does it really – I mean, like, are you watching this going, man, now I think maybe we have our answer what happened here?
No. First and foremost, there's no sting. If you watch the Washington guys take at-bats – there is a noticeable difference between how they look at the plate and how they're comfortable at the plate. Their swings, everything about
and
that.
And compare it to us.
And then compare it to how clueless 4 or 5 of our guys look in a lineup. You go up and down their lineup, and they look comfortable. They look like they have a good approach. They're taking good swings. The guy I'm most impressed with is Kendrick. I mean,
he's a competitor.
He looks like a stud.
Underrated guy.
But what I'm saying is,
I play with him in Anaheim, and I told Socha, don't let him go. Remember when they let him go when Ibar and Kendrick left?
Right.
They have never had the same team ever again. After Kendrick left, they have not had a second baseman.
It's a different look. If you know anything about hitting and an approach to hitting, you look at these guys and when they're in the box and how comfortable they look and how they're letting that ball get to them, and how their swings are different than the Cardinal player swings. And that's so when I look at it, Benji, I go, I'm not surprised that they're moving on and we're not.
Yeah, I wasn't surprised. I wanted the Cardinals to win 100%. I wanted them to make a push. I wanted them to get hot at the right time. I wanted Goldschmidt to carry the team. I wanted Ozuna to carry the team. I wanted everybody to start hitting. I mean, I wanted that. But the reality was, guys, look at Turner, 295 hitter. And I'm not going to go to the home runs because that's not even comparable. They all have 30-some home run or whatever. They look like it, right? At least 17 home runs for Kendrick and Suzuki had 17 home runs, for God's sake. So let me tell you this. 295. Then you go down the bottom of the lineup. Eaton, it's a 300 hitter. Then you go to the MVP, probably, to this guy. I forgot. Rendon. And then you go to Soto, 295 with 30-some home runs. And then you go down Kendrick, 344 with 400 at-bats, okay? 344. Not 305. 344. And then you keep going down the lineup, 295, 287. Those are good numbers. They had Cabrera, Ruber Cabrera, in the bench with 18 or 20 home runs and 80-plus RBI in their bench. You can't compare their lineup to ours.
You
not
mean,
at that moment that not at that moment that we faced them. Not at all.
You mean they could hit? Remember. You mean they could hit? They weren't worried about their OBP. They could actually hit?
They could hit and get runs in.
And
that's what the run. That's what matters. The runs in wins you game, Jimbo and Steve-O. The run score is what wins games.
You got to walk them in.
Worry about OBP and OPS.
You got to walk in the runs, man. You got to walk. You got to walk in some runs.
So here's an interesting take that, you know, as you get into October, late October baseball and everything, that I had a conversation with a guy the other day, that you're building a team to hit either strike out or hit home runs. That's what everybody wants. And you get into these cold nights and everything, and the ball's not going that extra 10 foot. Now it's just a warning track fly ball. This team.
And now explain.
Right.
Explain, Steve-O and Jimbo, explain to me why the small ball is not worth it in this regular season, but they rage about it in the postseason. Why do you think it's so valuable in the postseason? Because it wins you games. And they want to win games to win the World Series. But in the regular season, it's worthless. Get out of here, man.
I'm with you, Benji. I love playoff baseball. It's hard to replicate over 162 games. I get that part of it.
I think that's any league's like that, though.
But any league is like that. You're
yeah.
right.
Yeah.
Playoff football is different.
Yeah, it's hard.
Playoff basketball, I get it. Playoff hockey is a completely different game. You know that, Jimbo.
But how do they forget is how do they get there?
Right.
Those 10 losses in April where you could have moved the guy over to the third and sack fly somebody in or infield back. Get a ground ball, get a run in. That could have got you that win. You end up not winning the division or you know, like the other years where we were one game behind. I mean,
right.
I don't get it. I really don't get it with these analytics. I know I might never get a manager job because of those things. But analytics is all in the past. You don't know what's going to happen in the future. You know, and it's all numbers, but they forget the small part of the game. They did it to us. And when we did it in the playoff, get the guy over, score him, we won. We won. That's very simple.
Absolutely.
Well, you know, here's the thing. In the end, yeah, they're talented. You know, a lot of teams have, but that's the thing, right? Like, they're uber talented, in my opinion, up and down the lineup. They, like, when they have multiple players that I think are better than what we have, that's going to be a tough thing, tough nut to crack.
And guess what? They got rid of Bryce Harper.
Yeah.
How about that?
They are built to win because you don't win with one player. How many times did Barry Bonds won the MVP?
Seven.
And how many times did he win a championship?
Zero, would it?
None. Because he cannot win it by himself. He was the best player for so long, but he cannot win it by himself. He needs players around. Look at the whole freaking team of the Nationals, dude. Center field, they got Robles. I don't even know who that guy is. And he seems to be like he's been there like a Kenny Lofton type guy. And then in left field, Soto, 20 years old. But he can rake and he can play hard all the time. And then in right field, I mean, you go on and on and on. They have a team to win. And Houston is in deep trouble. Not only for what the comments of that guy, but deep trouble in the World Series when they go out and the pitcher has to hit, you lose a batter like Jordan, whatever
Alvarez, yeah.
Yeah, he's a stud. So you lose a batter. Watch out if it's a sweep.
Well, interestingly enough, you know, this is what kills me about organization. Like sometimes, and I'd love to go back and review all this, but I want everybody to think about this. Now, it didn't work out initially like they thought. I think when they got Adam Eaton, because the Cardinals were in on Adam Eaton and they didn't get him, and then everybody was going, well, Jesus, look what Washington gave up to get him. I mean, Chicago basically, you know, they gave. Yet somehow they didn't give up Soto. They didn't give up Robles, you know. I mean, so my thing is this, and we're going to talk a little bit about this. I say it all the time. You know, the minor leagues are for more than bringing up players to your own team. They are to be used to bring in guys that can really help you, which the Cardinals in the past have done a good job of, but we haven't lately, in my opinion. Not like we could. The Marcelo Zuna thing was one where we felt like we did give away a couple of what I would call our quote-unquote prized Fabergé eggs, as they're referred to sometimes.
But everybody does, Jimbo.
I know. That's what I don't understand. And the majority of these guys never become what you think they're going to become. I don't understand why it's so hard to part with these guys sometimes.
The Yankees or whoever the team that makes the most trades, I bet you anything they traded players that are double talented than Sierra or Alcantara or whoever. I bet you anything they had to part ways because they want to win. You know what I'm saying? So the to be in love with your players is one thing, but man, to help out your team win a World Series, I mean a World Series, that's why I think also before, you know, those GMs before were very aggressive on, you know what, I have a young guy in the AAA, but let me I need a pitcher. I need a pitcher and I know I can get over this hump. I know I can get over this bridge to win a World Series, but I need a pitcher. Okay, Alcantara, you're my best top prospect down there. All right, I'm sorry, buddy. You're being traded to the Yankees because I need Andy Pettit or something like that. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
They don't touch their head. They don't touch their heart. They want to win a freaking World Series. Hudson got traded to the Nationals. Guerra got traded to the Nationals. A bunch of players got traded over there. Why? Because they wanted to win a World Series. They're about to.
Well, there's a big difference. Like, see, here's where the difference lies for me. You know, the internet and people do so much great work and research and things like that. There's a big difference between being a top 100 prospect in baseball and being a top 10 prospect within your own organization. That doesn't mean that, like, for instance, Tommy Edmonds wasn't a top 100 prospect in baseball, but he's a good player, right? But there's a reason why guys are on the top 100 list. And it doesn't even guarantee that those guys are going to be studs. What it tells you is that their makeup, their physical part of them, all that type of stuff, okay? You add it all up and the odds say that they have a better chance of being an impact player at the next level, not just a good player, an impact player. There's been plenty of guys that you didn't know anything about that came up and were unbelievable. But on the whole, those are the guys. Now, certain organizations have those guys. Like everybody talks about, wow, the Astros did this and the Astros did. The Astros tanked
3 years in a row.
3 years in a row, they lost 100 games or something, didn't it?
Like, you think that plays here in this town?
No way it plays in this town.
Okay.
No way.
Then you're going to make my argument to all these internet people.
But that's my point. Everybody acts like they're so smart and so great. Everybody acts like these guys. Like here, I'm going to tell you, like here, they act like they're so smart. Okay? And I love the story of Jose Altuve. But why does everybody seem to forget that they sent his ass home?
Mm-hmm.
If they're so smart, they sent him home. Get out of here. He had to talk his way in there. So if they're so smart, if the Dodgers are so, like, the Dodgers are so smart about Justin Turner, he was a non-roster invitee to camp. That doesn't make you smart. That makes you lucky.
Yeah. Yeah. That doesn't make you smart. I'm sorry. Smart is bringing up, what's his name? Tommy Edman. Because obviously he's in the spot that Carpenter was giving us a hole. So you bring that guy instead of other guys. That's being smart. You know what I mean? Like when you pick a guy over another, you could be called a little smarter. But let me tell you guys, do you think, and this is another question out of the whole topic, but I wanted to know about what you think. Do you think we are better if Osuna walks out of St. Louis, or we are better? I mean, we're worse or better?
Well, that's a good question, Benji. I'll put it to you like this. I like Osuna. I think he's a good player. If your price is right, I think you get him because you know you have that commodity. There's not the potential. There's not. You don't have a Juan Soto, right? Sitting in there.
You do. You have one.
Okay.
It's Bader.
No. No, it's Dylan Carlson. Right. But is he ready? I don't know that he's ready.
And well, he hasn't proven anything in the big league. It doesn't matter if he's ready or not.
And here's the other thing.
You can say he's ready. Okay, let's say it from now on. Carlson is ready for the big league. Do you know he's going to give you 100 RBI? Do you know he's going to hit 300? Because I know Marcel can hit 300. He had trouble with the whole year with shoulder and hand and all that crap. But I know he can hit 300. But can he give you 30 home runs? Dude, we are not better without Ozuna. We are not better without Ozuna. Get that in your head. And we are not better with a couple of guys playing there. I'm not going to say name, but you guys know who. We are not better with those guys in our lineup. It's up to them to make up for that, because other teams are going to go after a lot of key free agents, and they're going to get better.
Well, here's my thing. How smart do you have to, the Astros are so smart, right? How smart do you have to be? In 2011, you had the 11th pick. You got George Springer. In 2012, you had the first overall pick. Well, how hard was it to go, well, we'll take Carlos Correa? How hard was it? The whole world would have taken him.
But yeah. Is that smart? I don't think they are.
That's my point. Alex Bregman. I mean, for how many years their highest pick was number 11?
But how, the last couple of years, there has been a couple of teams that has been the worst team in the league, right? Kansas City and who else? Pittsburgh. Do you see them getting improvement with their first round pick? Where are the first, second, and third picks for them? Where are they? Like Houston did, right?
Yep.
So if you're that smart, and you see all those teams down at the bottom getting the first, second, or third pick, where are they? Why can't they win?
Well,
and this is what one of the questions why I said earlier. If you are so secure that and so sure that analytics will work, why doesn't it work in Kansas City? Or why it's not working in Pittsburgh? Because you have to have the players. You have to have... How hard is that to understand? That's all I want to know. Oh, Houston is the best in analytics. Analytics? They're the best in Bregman, Correa, Altuve, Jordan, whatever, Alvarez. They're the best in George Springer. They're the best in Mickey Brantley, batting champ. They're the best in Ballander, Cole, and Greinke now. They're the best in everywhere. So they're going to be the best. It's not analytics. I'm telling you. I don't know why they make it so big a deal.
The Cardinals' highest pick has been 19th. They've had the 19th pick twice. They haven't had a pick before 19, but in 2008 they were 13th and they took Brett Wallace, who they turned into Matt Holliday. 13th is the lowest pick they've had since 1998 when they had the fifth overall pick.
That you can call smart.
Yeah, pretty good, huh? Pretty good?
That you can call smart.
So, interesting. Like, and here's the deal. I'm not here to take it. By the way, I had to look this up, Benji. You brought up Barry Bonds because I remember it. No, one player cannot win you a World Series, but I remember watching you play in 2002 and win your World Series. This guy in the World Series hit 471 and had a 700 OBP, hit four home runs.
and he still needed his friends to get him the win.
That's right.
When he most needed, he needed Aurelia. He needed JT Snow. He needed Benito Santiago. He needed the pitchers, Felix Rodriguez. He needed Rob Nen. He needed everybody else for him to win a ring. And that's why I'm saying not one player can win it for you.
Didn't he – man, was it game six when he hit the home run off Percival late in the game to make it close that, I mean, I couldn't believe how far he hit that ball. Was that the game he hit the ball off Troy Percival?
Yeah, me and Joe Madden the other day, when the Cubs were at home, we were talking about the same home run, and he was saying, man, I was there in the dugout, and that ball looked like he never want to land.
I remember it. I remember because it was hard to hit bombs in L.A. at night anyway. I mean, you get home runs, but they didn't go that far. I mean, I remember when he hit it and just thinking, oh, I think that was the game. I could be wrong, but I thought that was game six against Percival.
I think that was the game. You're right.
Because they didn't win it, but it got them close. It like got it like or whatever.
One run.
Yeah.
No, it got us 2-1 run. And then all of a sudden, that ball landed in the freeway.
No, you know what? It wasn't off Percival. It was off Francisco Rodriguez.
Yeah, we tried to trick him twice because Francisco got him on a changeup, and that was his third best pitch. And I got him out on the changeup and grumbled the first. So the next at bat, I'm like, man, if I could throw that changeup again, even if it's a ball, I'll walk him, and then I'll face the other guy. You know, we'll face the other guy, but Francisco wanted to throw it for strike. But that's when we can come on, and you know, I got to go out and tell, hey, listen, if you walk this guy, we don't care, but give me the nastiest changeup. But I didn't. So he threw it for strike. He didn't want to walk him, so he was surprised, man. That ball, I was still landed yet.
That's good stuff. But you know, so anyway, well, listen, that's kind of like in the end, you're going to measure yourself against teams that win.
Or you think we're worse, Jimbo? Because Steve-O said, what do you say, Steve-O?
You know, depending on price, obviously.
Well, price? No, that's not what he's asking. What he's asking is, if you don't have Ozuna, are you worse? We're obviously not as good.
Yeah, we're not as good.
No.
That's a simple question. So my thing is, with the whole trade deadline with things, don't you think Mozeliak looked at this and said, we're not one player away. Now, I get it. Cardinal Nation, if we get one player, maybe. But look at the team. Look at what the Washington Nationals are doing now. Do you think one player makes that big a difference? You think one player puts us in the World Series? And do you think one player wins us the World Series?
I think.
It could help. Anything could happen. I get that part of it. But maybe a guy knew when to hold them and when to fold them.
Is this a warm and fuzzy thing, Benji? Like, if you have better players, you feel warm and fuzzy, and then if you lose, you're upset, but at least you felt warm and fuzzy about your chances?
That's what I was trying to ask you guys. Like, yes, we're better with him, but you never heard me say we win the World Series. You heard me say we are better with him. We are worse without him. But that doesn't mean that we're going to go all the way and win the chip. Man, we saw what happened this year. We had three outfielders in the month of September hitting below 200. All three of them. And that's without counting D. Young. D. Young was hitting way below 200 for the whole month, too. And then we have Carpenter, who was our best hitter in September, 240. Think about it. Our best hitter around 240. In September. So, I mean, it's tough to win like that, man. And these guys, that's why I tip my hat to the Cardinals, not the organization so much, but the players. What they've done in Shields, what Mike Shields, after all those criticisms, that's a manager. When you manage a team that is struggling like that, with so many players struggling and a couple of guys playing out of position all the time, every single game, somebody was playing out of position. Tommy Edman is the second baseman. He's playing third base. Tommy Edman is the second baseman. He's playing right field. You know what I mean? Tommy Edman is the second baseman. He's playing center. Jose Martinez is a right field, but we all know the trouble that he has. Then we have Carpenter in third base having trouble, you know, everywhere. So, I mean, what Shields have done with this team, it's a miracle. It's like something that what I call a manager, because you have to manage every single freaking day, man. Every day you have to manage. That's what's a manager. When you have a team like the Dodgers, the Houston Astros, and then you can keep going and on, and Washington lately, you know, you don't do much of managing, right? I mean, you do, but you still not have to do so much. I mean, the players will do it for you. But when the players were not doing it for you, how do I win this game? How do I win this game without my players hitting, without my players doing anything in the last month or 2 months of the season? How do I win?
Right, and you're exactly right. You get a lifetime Paul Goldschmidt, who is, what, a 295 hitter, Jimbo? And he's hitting 260. You get Matt Carpenter, who's hitting 270 for all intents and purposes last couple of years, hitting 210.
Well, he didn't hit 270 last year.
Okay, the year before, whatever it is.
Well, he didn't hit 270 last year, and he wasn't doing worth of shit this year, but for some reason we gave him a two-year extension.
Steve-O. Keep going, buddy. Keep going.
But you have all these guys really from an individual.
Guys, you have Osuna that's a 300 hitter hitting what? 240?
240.
Okay, you have Fowler, which is supposed to be a 270. That's what we pay for, right? 270, 280 guy.
I like that term. That's what we paid for. I like that.
230, right? 230. Now, we don't have a right fielder because we can throw in the mix Harrison Bader. That was their superstar. That was their star at that moment. That was their guy who was supposed to and potentially hit 30 homer and potentially hit 300 and potentially do all these things. 2 months, 150 in 2 months. And then if you add 3 months, 160. Or 170 in 3 months. Okay, keep going. You got the only high bright side in all these is Colton Wong and Yadi. Yadi was steady. But Colton Wong, he has his best year. I think that's our MVP of this year, Colton Wong. But then you have Goldsmith, like you said. We're supposed to get 300, 295, and he's hitting 259 or 260. Now we go to DeJong. DeJong started in 330 for a month. He finished 230, guys. 230. That's 100 points at the end of the season. So,
how did we ever win 91 games?
Exactly.
Jim, exactly. It's a miracle.
What I'm trying to say. Because you have a good manager. Because you have somebody to manage to win 91 freaking games, bro.
Man, I'll tell you what.
Not all of
them. Now, how do you feel about the season?
Well, let me tell you this. It tells me what I feel a lot of times. There's a lot of smoke and mirrors going on. And what it also tells me is Benji should be out there being the one promoting Schilt for Manager of the Year. He might win the damn thing if Benji was out there getting it done.
Is there any?
I think he deserves, obviously, the first two or three.
Oh,
because
for sure.
Washington, that guy in Washington is going to win it. He has to win. But, I mean, I know the manager of the year is not about the postseason, but I think he might win it. And now on Shields, I think he should be a top three, man. I mean, the things that he's done with the team struggling this much and being up and down so much. Whew, you imagine if we had Asdrubal Cabrera in third base. And then Tommy Edman would play right field, and then if we had, I mean, I'm talking about their bench, right?
Right.
I mean,
right.
Para, so, I don't know, Para slowed down, but I'm just saying, if we had guys doing what they're supposed to do, you know, like what they're capable, what we know they can do, like Carpenter getting hot and hitting 30 homers, and if we had Fowler, which he had a good year, but average-wise wasn't the best. But everything else was great. And then we had, DeJong, an average, hitting 280 instead of 230. or Ozuna hitting almost 300 like he normally hits, even Goldschmidt. Can you imagine if Goldschmidt hits 300 like he normally hits?
Right. I mean, that's my whole point.
Through the playoffs.
That was my whole point, Benji, is the fact of the matter is Mozeliak has a job to go out there and win 90 to 91 games, put a team together to win 90 to 91 games, and bring in 3-plus million people through the turnstiles. That's his job.
That's his job, and he did it.
He did it. He did it with people that weren't producing at the levels that they have on paper for.
Yeah.
This is what we slate this guy as. We think Goldschmidt's going to come in and hit 30, 35 bombs and hit 300. You accomplish your goals without these guys doing what you expected them to do. So how
you
much
pay for them?
It's unreal. I think it's a good season.
Well,
you pay for them, right? I mean, you pay Goldschmidt big money, 5 years or something,
right?
For that, and you pay Fowler, and you paid Carpenter, which everybody questioned that move, but they pay him.
Huh.
They pay him to hit 30 home runs. They pay him to hit 280, 300. They pay him to get on base. They pay him for everything. They don't pay for guys to have down years. I wish the people understand this. Oh, but they did this contract is so bad. And No contract is bad. Until the guys that are playing prove it to you that are bad, right? But when you sign a Fowler, you don't sign Fowler to hit 230. You don't give Matt Carpenter $38 million, whatever it was, for 2 years extension for him to hit 210. That's not why you do it. You're paying because, and the same with Goldschmidt, you're paying those guys or the young who got a 5-year deal, a 4-year deal, something. You don't pay those guys to hit 230. They did hit 230. Now they look bad because they already done it. They did hit 230.
Right. But Benji.
But it's not why they do it.
But you also, 3 years ago, everybody was pissed off when they sold or signed Colton Wong. Oh, why would you give him that money? He's terrible. Run him out of here. They're trying to trade him, but he developed.
4 years, he's been bad.
Well, here. All right, so here.
Go back in years, and this is his first year that he's played to his potential. You go back and look at his numbers, and I heard this, and I don't like the guy, but one of the radio guys in St. Louis was talking about him, right? And he said Colton Wong has been below average for 6 years or 5 years. And finally, he clicked. Dang, Steve-O, tell them to give me 5 years.
Yes.
Five chances.
That's
what might happen to Harrison Bader.
Right.
They might give him 5 years. And then the sixth year, you're like, damn, that worked.
Yeah, but Benji, that was Matheny's fault. Colton Wong was Mike Matheny's fault. It was Mike Matheny's fault that Colton Wong wasn't any good.
Yeah. But here's the deal. He's a $25 million contract, right? 5 years, 25. Was that what it was?
Whatever it was.
So this year, if you had to pay him in the real world, what was his value this year? Is he a $10 million guy this year?
I think that's what he makes now.
That's what he makes.
That is what he makes. It was an escalating contract.
Okay. Yeah. But what I'm saying is if your contract's worth $25 million over five, do you look at it and say, man, we got $25 million value out of him?
I love when Benji laughs at that, by the way. Benji, do you ever try to blame one of your rough seasons on a manager?
Oh, no. Nobody has ever done that.
Hey, you've come out and said that one of the better seasons you've ever had, your manager was awful to you. That was in Toronto, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. It was awful. He treated me like crap.
And you didn't crumble? I can't believe you didn't crumble.
No,
the poor man didn't believe in you and you didn't crumble.
I would have cried about it. I'd probably finish my career there and nobody signed me again. I can't blame the manager, man. You know what I mean?
I know. I just love it. Listen.
There's no way.
I know.
Let me tell you this about Colton Wong. When you sign Colton Wong, you're expecting things, right? That's why the contract was so low, because you were expecting that he would be what he is now. But you wasted 5 years or whatever it was, 4 years, that he was struggling. But as a GM, you have to be willing to do that if you want to. I could give you a perfect example real quick. Adrian Beltre. What do you think of Adrian Beltre? He's a Hall of Fame, right?
Absolutely.
Love him.
And the last couple of contracts, he has not done anything until the last year of his free agency. Right?
Yep.
He's been hurt. He didn't produce. And then his last year of free agent, he killed it. And then he got another good contract. And then he went off. He wasn't doing very well, so good, a couple of years. But now he has a free agent, and he stepped it up. And he got another contract, and then after that, he took off. You see what I'm saying, though? It's all what I'm trying to say. You take a risk as a GM. You're paying Paul DeJong for what you think. For potential of Paul DeJong hitting 30 like he did, but you also paying him for 300 hitters. You know what I'm saying? So you take a chance. And that's what they're doing this day, just playing the roulette. Okay, do I want to sign Bader for 4 years? Don't be surprised if they sign Bader for a four-year deal. And then thinking, okay, he might go off next year and the next year, and then I have to pay him in arbitration.
They love to buy them years out. They love to buy those years out. Yeah.
Without him doing anything, he had a 4 year on the table. Don't be surprised.
Well, listen, as we I don't want to call it a rebuild, but as we do this, we love to get the fans involved. And one of the cool things that we've added is our text line. And we're going to hit that here in just a second. Before we do, I want to remind everybody to check us out at twobirdsonabat.com. You guys can subscribe to the show there, which we encourage everyone to do. Please check out our Two Birds blogs as well. Very excited about you guys finding us on social media and communicating with you there at Birds on a Bat Show on Twitter. And, of course, we always ask you to find us on Facebook. Type in Two Birds on a Bat. Make sure you like and follow our page. When you see the pinned post, that'll be the latest show. And we do ask that you guys... like it, comment on it, share it. That really helps us reach more people and bring them into our community. Find us on Instagram as well, Two Birds on a Bat Show, and, of course, as part of lineupmediagroup.fm. Can't thank some of our partners enough. Our good friends at Adam's Smokehouse. Folks, it's the best barbecue in St. Louis, bar none. We love it. It's fantastic. Our friend Mike does a great job over there. It's located on Watson Road, and they're open until 7 on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays. They do box lunch orders if you have a big office setting and you want to be the king of your office and have everybody love you, then order up some Adam Smokehouse and they'll take care of you. If you have an event that needs catering, Adam Smokehouse can handle that as well. You will not be disappointed. Like I said, I do recommend head on over there, though, and take in the atmosphere, see the people, just take in the smells, man. My goodness gracious. But that's located again on Watson Road, Adam Smokehouse. Tell Mike and the gang we said hello. St. Louis, here's your cue. Going to have a lot of fun here with our new text line, and we do want to welcome in, and I know, Steve-O, you're familiar with this family. We're very happy to welcome in the Patterson family with Patterson Tire and Service. They are a whole lot more than a tire store. Located on 3718 Highway 111 in Granite City, Illinois, 618-797-6711. Tell them your friends at Two Birds on a Bat sent you on over. Guys, I've known that family. Steve, I know you've met them through me, and just a great family that locally owned business, which we always encourage.
And you can trust them. Once again, these people we're sending you to, you can trust.
Yeah.
Whether it's Randy,
the
Pattersons, that's why we can stand behind them.
Well, and that's the thing for us. And I know through talking with Benji, if it's nice to know the people that you're talking about on this show, because things can happen away from it, and then it reflects badly on you. Well, I can tell you right now, I've known this family basically my whole life. They're tremendous people. If you ever meet the father, you would understand where the kids get their work ethic from, where they get their honesty from. But again, just a great family that does a great job located in Granite City. And they do say they're a whole lot more than a tire store, because while obviously you can go down there for your brakes and your tires, they do everything. They do tons of automotive repair. They've helped me more than once, and they will help you. One more time, that's Patterson Tire and Service. 3718 Highway 111, located in Granite City, Illinois, 618-797-6711. And they will be bringing you the text line for Two Birds on a Bat and all of our spinoff shows. So now that we're famous and people are texting in and saying Steve-O stinks.
Well, you had me excited. You said they were bringing, I started thinking Adam Smokehouse. They're bringing Adam Smokehouse.
Well, they can repair my car and bring Adam Smokehouse. That'd be fine. But don't forget this number, folks, 314-626-3954. We've just kind of introduced it and we do have people texting in. I picked out a couple that I want to talk about. We've already kind of touched on one of these. So this gentleman texted in that, you know, he believes, unfortunately, Ozuna's going to walk. He would love the Cardinals to go after Rendon to cover up the production of Ozuna leaving and put Carp on the bench. Rendon, he believes, is a pipe dream, but it is his pipe dream. And I do agree with him. So let's look at that. Okay, here's my thing on that. Number one, here's how I we'll just go around the table real quick on this. I'll go first. I'll go to Benji, then we'll finish with Steve. Okay, if Ozuna walks, you have to replace that production. I don't believe you have the person on your roster to replace that production. Number one, the only guy with the potential to replicate his production is Paul DeJong. And while Paul DeJong had a great first month of the season, he was awful. And I like Paul DeJong. But offensively, can you go into next season saying, yep, there's our replacement for Ozuna? Are you going to do that just because? Now, I love the potential. He did hit 30 home runs. But this dude hit so bad. You can't have a number four hitter for months on end hitting 200. You just can't. And don't give me the bullshit about batting average doesn't matter. It absolutely matters when you're going to bat in an RBI position. It absolutely matters. That's number one. Number two, what would lead you to believe that if the Cardinals are not going to pay Marcell Ozuna to stay, and Marcell Ozuna is going to get whatever he gets, Anthony Rendon is going to get a lot more than Marcell Ozuna, and signing Anthony Rendon then requires you to take Matt Carpenter and put his $20 million on the bench. So I'm sorry, Rendon's not happening. Benji, your thoughts?
I don't see it happening. I think they need to sign Ozuna however they can. Ozuna has been very productive to them and very he has played almost every game that he's been here other than the ones that he got hurt from the fingers. But if he can stay healthy, which he's proven he can, he just got those fingers hurt, but if he can stay healthy, he can play 162 games. Who knows? I would try to sign him, man. I really would. It's just because if we had, like you said, guys, if you guys said it, if you had a Soto waiting on that, you know that's going to happen. Hey, let him go and go with what that guy is. But we don't have that guy yet. We don't have him. We need Ozuna. I hope they see it this way. I know they're counting on Lane Thomas. I know they're counting on Tyler O'Neill, which didn't even get any at bat or any game in the last month or 2 months. And you have Jairo Munoz, which it was a wasted talent in the bench. It was one of my biggest questions, that if I ever had a chance to sit down with Mike Shields, that would be my first question. It's like, this dude was great for you. This dude was great all year. And all of a sudden, for two months, you threw the key under that river right there next to the stadium. I want to know why. I would love to know why. Which I also told Jairo to go get another team, because he's too young to be in the bench and he's really good. So anyway, but when you're talking about these, who is gonna give you? Bader is not gonna give you 100 RBI, 30 homers, and 280 to 290 to 300. It's not gonna happen. You know, Martinez could give you 80 RBI, 20 home runs, 300. But they don't want him because he cannot play in the defense. That's what they say. So who do you have to replace him with? Thomas? O'Neill? Who? Who's the next Ozuna then? And I don't really believe that we're going to be better at scoring runs, which we didn't score runs. Remember? We didn't score runs. So if you lose the guy who puts the runs on the board and you have the guy who can put the runs on the board in the bench in Jose Martinez, how are we supposed to score? That's what I want to be answered.
Steve-O, your thoughts?
I will go. This is the fourth year we're doing this show.
Right.
And I've been consistent from day one. Tell me what free agent we've ever signed.
Well, no, I agree.
Okay. So you got the guy. in Ozuna.
And he wants to stay here. And,
well, yeah.
That's the thing.
He's been public about staying here.
Yeah.
And then there's, and who knows, with all the fake news crap out there.
I believe he wants to stay here.
But what I'm saying is the fake news with the, you know, that there's not even conversations happening. Yeah. No. You never know. Mosaic usually plays stuff a little bit closer to the vest. So who knows what the truth is. I would say I'm a fan of signing the guy you already have because I don't see you signing a big-time free agent.
I agree with that. Benji probably knows if they've talked to him. He may not want to say on here, but he probably knows if Marcel's talked to him.
No, they've been in talk, but I don't know if they obviously close to signing. But they for sure been in talk. They have to be. I mean, come on. Nobody's going to tell us that they have not been in contact. You know what I mean?
Okay. Well, that's good. That's better than I thought. I thought maybe they were just like, look, it's there's no way. So that's better than I thought. All right.
No.
Follow up. What are the chances we did talk about that? What are the chances to trade Wong or even Karp this offseason? Karp would be more of a salary dump. I believe that would be hard to find. But Tommy Edmund, to your point, is a second baseman. Now, obviously, trading Karp, I think most people would like to do that. Obviously, I think it's going to be really hard to trade him unless, I don't know, it would have to be real creative. The whole Colton Wong thing for me, so here's my thing on Colton Wong. You finally got a good season out of him. He played up to his skill set. Now, for me, what that means is this is who I kind of always thought he was, right? Like, I never wanted Colton Wong to hit 20 home runs. I wanted Colton Wong to steal 20 bases. I wanted him to play great defense, and I wanted him to get on base and hit for a decent average. That's what I wanted, and that's what we finally got. So I certainly don't want to trade him now.
Well, let me tell you this real quick about Colton Wong. You know the guy in Washington? He's an infielder. He hit at the bottom of the order, right? He have a...
Talking about Dozier? When he was playing? No. Are you talking about... Well, there's Kendrick?
Well, I was trying to... No, Kendrick, he's a stud, you know.
Yeah.
But I was trying to say, I saw a player... And it could have been in another team we played. Oh no, it was in the Braves. Swanson.
Oh yeah.
Swanson hit 280, right? Something like that, 270 or whatever it was. And he hit 17 homers and he had 60 RBIs. Well, he can do that hitting eight. Because I have Freeman, because I have Acuña, because I have Albies, because I have Marquez. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But when you have Wong hitting second or hitting eighth, whatever it is, and if he could do what he did this year with the defense, I'll take it.
Absolutely.
But our guys in the top of the lineup have to do something. Because if our guys in the top of the lineup didn't, you know what I mean, has the ups and downs, the Colton Wong needs to do more.
Well,
you know what I'm saying?
Steve-O.
So
a lot of pressure for that guy.
What I've seen on the social media was the fact that you're taking one guy who's had your MVP from this year,
Wong.
Right?
Wong. Okay.
And you've packaged him up with every other player that underperformed.
Yep.
You've thrown in some shit that hasn't sold from the gift shop there at Busch Stadium, the authentic
Stanton.
Store.
For Stanton?
Yeah. And you've dumped all this, and you go, oh, yeah, we'll take Stanton. Come on, folks. Let's be real.
No, they've got, yeah.
I mean, people are insane. I get it, okay? I don't want – not all opinions are good, okay?
Right. No,
you understand
it.
What I'm saying?
But here's a realistic one from that, though, and I like where you took this. So, and I see where Benji's at. So if Colton Wong – let's say Colton Wong's your number two hitter.
Yep.
And that's fine if he's gonna perform like that. The problem is, and I've said this, and it you know, it's not a pile on, it's real. Okay, this quote unquote bounce back season that Dexter Fowler had. This gentleman said, "My name is Edward. I've been a Cards fan for the last few seasons. I've really started following them religiously, and I would love for my daughter to be a Cards fan along with me for the bond. I got into a bit of a spat with a Cards fan on Instagram about how I didn't believe Fowler had the best comeback season on the team. I actually stated your point that a 237 average in the leadoff spot is not good enough to be considered a comeback year. Thank you very much. It did not go well for me in the comment section. I was called a casual fan and was told by multiple people that batting average doesn't matter. How do I combat that batting average doesn't matter? By the way, my vote for best comeback season was Colt Long. Well, Edward, let me tell you something. I'll start. You're 100% right. Listen, what people the people that have an open mind, what they're saying is the whole object for some people is to get on base. That is true. And I understand that. Okay? But unless the bases are loaded and you need to drive in a run, a walk doesn't do anything for you other than get you to the next batter. So now, if Dexter Fowler walks all the time and Colton Wong hits well and Paul Goldschmidt hits well, that's not too bad. But how many times did Dexter Fowler come up in situations where there was one or two out and runners in scoring position or runners here or there and we couldn't get a damn hit? See, that's the point that those people never want to talk about. Okay?
And the immeasurable, the clutch. The clutch. Who can hit when you need a hit? The Albert Pujols. Home run.
Well, we're talking
not the
about
Matt Holliday.
We're talking
home run.
About Washington right now. Right. These guys can hit. They can hit
when they need to hit.
Yeah.
Listen, you could hit 900, okay, and still not be as productive as we need you to be because I need you that other 100 when there's guys on base in scoring position and the game's on the line.
Exactly.
So
that's why I hate when people don't like the word clutch. I mean, you have to be, I don't want to insult anybody, but you have to be so not like in your head when you think clutch is not a thing. How do you get 100 RBIs in a season? Is that because you're not clutch? How do you get 80? How do you get 90? How do you get, I mean, I can see the home runs, 20 home runs when the game, 20 times that the game was out of hand. I can see that one. But how do you say that clutch is not when you have a guy that's 80 RBIs and over in a season? You don't think that's clutch?
Well, I can tell you how it is.
80 RBIs. So if Martinez, Jose Martinez, ends up with 50 RBIs, 40 RBIs, you will be killing him. You will be sending him to hang. He got 80 plus RBIs, and you still not call him clutch. What? So if he gets 30, like we have a bunch of guys with 30 plus, so you send him to the hang. So he's hang. He's dead for us. Come on, man. That's why I don't get into those discussions because they don't show like they know what they're talking
about. I'll give you an example. I have one right here for you. Yachty played 113 games this year, okay? You know, I'm sure he would have liked to have played probably his 140, 145. But he only played 113 games. He still hit 10 home runs, and he drove in 57 runs, okay? Paul DeJong hit 30 home runs and played in 159 games and only drove in 78 runs. There's a reason.
I used to bring this up all the time. I want the guy, give me a guy that hits 20 bombs and gets 80 RBIs as opposed to the guy that hits 20 bombs and hits 33 RBIs.
I mean, you know, Harrison Bader hit 12 home runs and only drove in 39 runs.
There you go.
You know?
And he was given the shot, so that's another thing.
There is a place
that we're talking.
There's a place in baseball for analytics and statistics.
Absolutely.
There is a place. But let me tell you what analytics doesn't do. Win games. No. Runs win games.
It doesn't win games, man. I'm with you 100%.
Well, and just to finalize the discussion, I get on-base percentage, and I understand that it's important. I absolutely do. I understand that walking helps your on-base percentage. I absolutely understand that. But here's what I'm going to tell you, and this is it, okay? If you're going to hit 238, if you're going to hit 238 and you're at the top of the order, then your on-base percentage better be 370, 380, not 346. Because there are going to be multiple times we need runs scored, not walks.
I understand, but nobody, go ask Vladimir Guerrero, a guy that is a Hall of Famer, and he said this, walking did not get me out of the island. Okay, think about it for a second. Walking did not get me out of the island. Isn't that so true?
Yeah.
It's hitting that got you out of the line, out of the island. Hitting. It's for base percentage, for example, at the end, you want to have that high, yeah. Forget about that, man. Give me the 80 RBI. Give me the 20 home runs and give me the 280 over a batter. Look at what Washington is doing to the best team in baseball with the Dodgers, which is Dodgers and Houston. Look at what they've done to those two teams. Why? Because the OPS? Is that why they want him? Because the on-base percentage? Because they walk more than the other guy? Is that how they done it? Because I haven't seen that. They walk, but they're not beating anybody with walks. They're beating people with doubles with three-run RBI, so with base hit at the right moment, with clutch, base hit, clutch. And you're going to tell me clutch doesn't exist? And you're going to tell me that OPS and OBS and whatever that crap is, and it's more important than two-run base hit with two outs? Get the heck out of here, boy.
And the more you hit, the more you get into somebody's bullpen. If you're going to have 12, 14, 16 strikeouts in a game, you're probably not getting into somebody's bullpen because guess what? That pitcher might be giving up a solo home run. Big deal.
Well, here you go. I'll give you an example. Last night, okay, Anthony Rendon in the first inning. What if he walks? What if he walks? Right? The next three batters all made outs.
Right.
So what if he walks and doesn't double in the first two runs?
Hey, but don't go to the Nationals. Go to our team. How many times did you see a Carpenter walking? Not many times this year, but Carpenter.
I think we kind of lost you there for a second, hey, Benji.
Right?
Yeah. Well, listen, in the end.
3-0 count, 3-1 count, he takes. He wants to walk. Other teams like the Nationals or somebody else, Houston, they want the RBI, man. They want to run in. They don't want to walk so they let the next guy up to get it. No, I want to get it right now. And if I'm able to do it, I want to do it. I have a 3-1 count. The ball's coming right down the middle. I'm going to swing, and I'm going to get a fly ball. I'm going to get a line drive, base hit, and I'm going to get that guy in. Whoop. Nope. Not Carpenter or a couple guys like Bader or whoever. Not them, because they'll take the 3-1 pitch down the middle. And then they end up walking or they end up striking out. But they don't want no part of the RBI. I don't get it. That's how you win games.
They don't want to get excited about it. My eyes light up. Second and third, one out.
Oh, man.
And it's a 3-0 count. Let's go. I might see a real good pitch right now.
Yeah, and our guys, I don't want to mention all of them because it's not all of them, but most of our guys, not most, but some of our guys are 3-1 count. They're like, okay, I got to hustle a walk. He's not going to pitch to me. What? You want to walk over a freaking RBI? No way. No way. I ain't going to walk for an RBI. I get an RBI. I get my team up 1-0. They have to score 2 now.
So the next guy can hit into a double play in the inning.
Or a pop-up. We saw it many times. We don't have to go to another team. We saw the guys in front getting a walk. Great at-bat. Yay! Great at-bat. Double play. Pop-up. And then the pitcher's next. I mean, come on, man. We saw it all year. They need to improve that. They need to be aggressive. They need to have 3 chances. That's why when people get on Yadi because he swings on the first pitch when the runners are on, I don't get on him. Get your 3 chances. I don't want you getting 2 chances. I want you to get 3. You might hit that ball first pitch, foul ball, and then you might get 2 more chances.
Right.
Come on, man. What,
you know, this is baseball's been around for 150 years professionally here. The approach that will never get old is, hey, when I get up to plate, I'm going to have a game plan. I'm going to know what the situation is, and I'm going to look for the pitch that fits the situation. And if I get it, I'm swinging. And if I get it again, I'm swinging. And then when I get to 2 strikes, I have to protect. It frustrates the crap out of me to see a guy take a pitch, okay, that wasn't what he was looking for. I get it. Then take a second pitch, a pitcher's pitch, for a strike. Wasn't what he was looking for. Now it's 0-2, and instead of changing his mentality, he stays with the, well, I just got to be aggressive now, and he swings at a curveball in the dirt.
Yes,
over sir. And over and over and over.
Here's my favorite
you
part. Here's
you
the deal, because we're long, and I'm going to say this, and then Benji, I'll let you say your last thought, and then we'll get out of here. But here's my thing. People actually think that the hitting coach is telling them to do that. Yeah.
Where's you got to have something on there that does something, don't you?
Let's see. The people that think that,
yes.
This is what they should get. The crickets. That's what they should get. You know?
I'm a little disappointed with you using the toy in here.
Why?
Hit it again. Get it off there. Okay. You didn't use it enough.
Well, here's the deal.
Let me tell you this real quick. If you have a guy that's Edgar Martinez, and he takes two pitches for strike, right down the middle, I would not say a word. I would not even mention of anything that we're talking here. Anything. Never. I would not mention. But we don't have Edgar Martinez in our lineup. We have our Bader, we have Carp, we have Paul DeJong, we have Fowler. Those are the guys that could not get to two strikes because they're potentially, you know, they're not good hitters with two strikes. Not because Benji Molina say it, because they show that they're not very good with two strikes. So you cannot go to me and say 3-1 count, 2-0 count, and I'm taking this right down the middle. Hell no. I am not going to get to two strikes if I'm in a favorable count. And obviously a fastball is coming. Because obviously if you're thinking slider and you take a fastball right down the middle, I don't know what the heck you're thinking. But anyways, that's all I want to say. If you have Edgar Martinez, somebody that can hit with two strikes and is not afraid of a two-strike situation, then I don't say nothing. But we don't have that. We have guys that are having trouble with two strikes. So guess what? The 3-1 count, I'm swinging if it's right down the middle. I'm aggressive. The 2-0 count, 2-1 count, if it's right down the middle, I'll do it.
Yeah.
I'll do it. I have to swing.
You're out of touch, Benji. You don't realize that this Jeff Albert's telling these guys to keep swinging at these sliders that eventually they're going to hit one. You're out of touch. You really are. You don't get it.
Yeah, seriously. And then also, the analytics says that 2-2 count, Garrett Cole is going to throw a changeup 80% of the time, right?
Mm-hmm.
Analytics. 80%. So, Paul DeJong, please, 80%. When you get to a 2-2 count, and this is just an example, but, hey, when you get to 2-2 count, don't forget, 80% is changeup. Oh, okay. So, what happens when the guy gets to 2-2 count? They see it like, oh, shoot, 80% changeup. Well, I got to get ready for the changeup because it's 80% in the analytic word. Okay, let's get ready. Boom, 2 fastballs or 1 fastball. You're blown away. And then what? Where's the 80%? Where's the 80% that told me it was a changeup coming? Where is it? It's not analytics. It's you against me. You're hitting against the pitcher. You're not hitting against numbers, man. I try to tell them, the way our guys strike out, something's going on in their head. The way they struck out. I'm not saying that you're not going to stroke out or whatever. I'm not saying that. You will stroke out. But, dude, the way they do it tells me something is in their head. Something is in their head that is not matching up what the guy on the mound is doing. So they look, at times, you tell me, guys, don't they look overmatched?
Yeah. A lot of times.
A lot of times. They look overmatched, and you're like, Wait a second. Something's wrong here, man. What are you doing? I mean, and that's what you got. You can question the hitting coach or whatever you want because something might be set there that is not, you know?
Well, listen, in the end.
Can I give one more thing for the people to look at over the next couple of games before the season ends?
Well, go ahead because it's we're way past here, but go ahead.
Hey, folks, I want you to watch something, and I want you to compare things. I want you to look when they put up the old K-zone and we brought this, I texted this to you guys last night. When they put the old K-zone on the TV, and watch how some of these catchers take balls out of the strike zone when they catch compared to when they keep it in there or they frame it. And just a little bit, that's what our Yadi Molina does all the time. That's why he's so good behind the plate. Is not the, hey, he didn't let the pass balls go, or he saved a bunch of wild pitches, or he threw guys out or threw behind runners. It's the framing. Watch, it is a skill set that is still alive in Major League Baseball for at least a couple of years until they put in the automatic umpire.
And that is a huge part on the pitching success. Not everything, because obviously the pitcher throws the ball, but Yadi is a huge, has a huge impact on what this pitching stuff and bullpen stuff are doing. Just don't forget that. Right.
There was a good half dozen pitches last night that should have been strikes that were caught wrong to cause these people to get extra pitches. Maybe that extra base hit. Maybe that opened up the inning and caused a 12, whatever it was, 3 loss.
Oh, yeah.
All right, fellas. Great show today. Enjoyed it.
I miss being on here. I miss. Well, thanks for the invite.
What do you mean invite? Like, this is ridiculous. Get involved, bud. Be like the people that get involved instead of sitting around waiting on everybody else. But it is good to have you, and we do want to remind everybody, all the people that make this show possible, as always, coming to you from the Patio Studios, original party place for St. Louis Cardinal fans everywhere. As always, special thanks go out to Randy Green with InnovativeCompanies.com. Residential, commercial, industrial, Randy Green's got you covered. That's InnovativeCompanies.com. To our good friends at Adam's Smokehouse, best barbecue in St. Louis, folks. Located on Watson Road and open till 7 on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays. St. Louis, here's your cue. To the Gators Baseball Academy, here in the offseason, time to get better. Let's get to work. Located in Missouri and Illinois, GatorsBaseballAcademy.com. DrKristenJacobs.com, as always, reminding you, every day is Skin Cancer Awareness Day. Make sure you check out her Ooh La La Spa and Anti-Aging Wellness Center. Again, one more time, DrKristenJacobs.com and her reminder. Take care of your skin, folks. To Patterson Tire, thank you for coming on board with your wonderful family and supporting our new text line. We're enjoying some of the texts that come in. I'll just apologize right off the bat. We won't be able to get to all of them, folks, but when we find stuff, especially that either makes us want to talk about something, which we did today, or it pertains to what we're talking about, we're going to address it. So right special down. Thanks.
Well, and it's because you got 3 long-winded guys.
Well,
in
here. 314-626-3954. Please don't forget it and write it down and get involved, and we're happy to have all you guys be a part of it. But
and write their questions down, maybe next show.
Yeah, absolutely. And, and sometimes you guys aren't putting your names on there. Put them on there, man. We want to acknowledge you, so happy to do so. As always, twobirdsonabat.com. Subscribe to the show. Find us on Twitter, @BirdsOnABatShow. On Facebook, @TwoBirdsOnABat. Instagram, @TwoBirdsOnABatShow, and of course, lineupmediagroup.fm, home of your radio. Download it for free on your mobile device today. For all of us here at Two Birds and a Bat, let's go Birds!
Go Birds!
Go Birds!
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.